taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
You are now listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to destination for women who are tired of feeling burnt out and stuck in the exhausting cycle of doing but not thriving. Each week, we'll provide you with Christ-centered mental wellness prescriptions to help you reclaim your peace, renew your purpose, and live life spiritually well. And if you're a therapist or a coach, the tools and insights that we curate here will help you make a Christ-centered impact on your clients today. Are you ready, sis? Let's get started. Hey, friend, and welcome back to my channel. I pray that you are having an amazing day. We are following up with a conversation we had a couple of days ago on the podcast about the pillars of anxiety and overwhelm. We talked about how anxiety is more than just an emotion, but it really is this internal division, this pulling apart where your thoughts, your emotions, and your focus are being pulled in multiple directions. And I talked about how in Philippians 4 and 6, where the scripture tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in prayer, with supplication and thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. How that word anxious really means to be drawn apart, mentally distracted, or to be split in focus. And it really described the way that we deal with worry today, right? Our minds are constantly jumping between obligation, between our fears, between future uncertainties. And a lot of us are just exhausted and overwhelmed. And for most of us, our anxiety is not this random occurrence that happens to us. It's something that we have been conditioned to deal with, right? Society has programmed us to live in this state of mental overload, convincing us that being anxious is not only normal, but necessary. The devil is a lie. Okay. Society has convinced us that being anxious is not only normal, but that it is necessary. And so we've been conditioned to always be on. So you're checking your notifications. You're reacting to messages immediately because you don't want to miss out. You are constantly tying your worth to what you put out, your productivity, and it really leads to you overcommitting. It leads to exhaustion and it leads to guilt when you are called to slow down. And we're constantly pressured to compare our lives. So you're constantly feeling like you're behind or you're inadequate or you're lacking. But God never designed for life to be like this for us. And so it's important to know that the Bible does not just tell us to be anxious for nothing, right? God is a God who gives not only revelation, but he provides healing. I always say here that God reveals so he can heal. Okay. So the Bible does not just talk about what anxiety is, but the Lord is so kind that he also provided a clear strategic method for us to push back against chronic stress, worry, and emotional fragmentation. When we talk about be anxious for nothing, that phrase, remember I told you that it means the way that it's written or the literary construct means like you have to refuse to do it. You have to resist doing this. And the Bible tells us in James 4 and 7, when you resist the enemy, he will flee. And so this is the same concept. When we refuse to allow our minds to worry about the next thing and be all over the place, we are one, practicing self-control, which is a fruit of the spirit, but two, we are resisting anxiety. And I think it's really important to know that Paul gives us four critical steps in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 that really give us not only a biblical, but a psychological framework to combat anxiety. Now, remember, this is not generalized anxiety disorder. This is not what we're talking about. These strategies are also helpful if you have generalized anxiety disorder, but this is not speaking about generalized anxiety disorder. We are talking about dealing with worry, overwhelm, and that mental disengagement, that mental fragmentation that could potentially lead to the development of something like a generalized anxiety disorder. And so I want to make that clear, okay? If you have GAD, you can still listen to this video and it's beneficial, and also do whatever your clinician is telling you to do prayerfully. Okay? All right. So Paul gives us these four steps in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And we have this biblical and psychological framework. And we really want to understand that resisting is not passive. So you cannot be reactive. You have to be proactive when it comes to dealing with your mind. And so I want us to take these steps, these four steps that are an intentional plan of action. Okay. Anxiety is often presented to us as something that is inevitable, but scripture gives us tools to overcome it, strategy to overcome it. And so Paul is not saying, hey, don't worry, be happy. That's not what he's saying. But he also equips us with a framework that's going to help you renew your mind, Romans 12 and 2, and transform how we process stress and uncertainty. So the first part of the strategy is to refuse to carry what God never asked you to. Refuse to carry something that God, if God didn't ask you to carry it, put it down. Carry your burden, carry your cross. You can't carry your cross, your mama cross, your auntie cross. Some of us try to carry the Lord's cross and want to know why we are, feel like we are on the edge of falling off, because we could never maintain the pressure. Okay. The weight is too much for us. And so one of the greatest sources of anxiety that we have is carrying burdens that do not belong to us. We take on the illusion of control. So we believe that if we just plan enough, work enough, worry enough, that you can prevent bad outcomes. But the Bible tells us that there's going to be trial and tribulation. You're not going to be able to avoid every trial and every tribulation. We take on the emotional weight that belongs to the Lord. So we hold on to fear, guilt, and responsibilities for things that are not ours to change. And we have no ability to change. We take on other people's expectations and we overextend ourselves so we can meet demands that God never called us to fulfill. And so in Matthew 6:34, Jesus tells us, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. There's enough things happening over there to keep that day divided. You're not about to have my mind too. Jesus teaches us that we are not to worry about anything, because worrying does not change the future. What it does is it robs us of the peace that we have today. And research also confirms this. When we talk about rumination, which is that constant worry that you're constantly playing things over and over in your mind, it leads to mental fatigue. It leads to decision paralysis. It leads to increased cortisol levels, which is a stress hormone. And so then you develop hypertension. Now you're more at risk for things like heart disease. And so although this is a mental and emotional thing, the stress starts to play a role in your body. Now you're having headaches. And so I want you to understand that you have to put down things that God has not called you to. When you feel overwhelmed, ask yourself, is this something that God called me to carry, or am I picking up unnecessary weight? I'm going to take it even further. In Hebrews, the Bible talks about strip off every weight and stop doing the sin that's slowing you down. This is the weight. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you're doing what God has called you to do, not that it won't be a call or a cause for sometimes the days being stressful, but if I'm feeling anxious and overwhelmed, that is a clear indicator to me that the yoke ain't easy. The burden ain't light. Somewhere along the way, I've picked up something that does not belong to me. Let me go put it back. Let me go put it back where it belongs. So is this something, when you feel overwhelmed, ask yourself, is this something God has called me to carry, or am I picking up unnecessary weight? Have I picked up unnecessary weight? And then, friend, the cost is way too high. You need to cut it, okay? Immediately. Don't think about it. Just cut it and repent Don't pick it up again. Okay? So step one, refuse to carry what God never asked you to. Step two is to break the cycle of distraction and overcommitment. Anxiety thrives in mental fragmentation. So the more you divide your attention, the more you feel overwhelmed because there's too many things competing for your attention. The more you feel mentally exhausted because you're switching tasks and it's draining all of your cognitive energy, and you feel disconnected because the constant busyness drowns out the voice of God. And you being fragmented. Remember, James said, if your faith is anywhere else but the Lord, you can expect nothing. You're double-minded. You're going back and forth. So on top of this mental fragmentation being something that causes overwhelm, mental exhaustion, and disconnection, not just because the busyness drowns out his voice, but the state of your mind, the state of your soul, your condition is keeping you from being able to receive. Okay? If I'm asking you to pour water into a glass, but the glass is broken, even if I'm pouring out, What is going to be retained? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Society likes to keep us in a constant state of reactivity, right? Even when you are posting, like we moved to a new platform in the society, and when somebody posts something, the little thing underneath says react. Right? We're always reacting, but we have to be proactive. There's notifications, there's deadlines, there's unrealistic schedules that keep our minds overloaded. And in Isaiah 26:3, the Bible says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. Why? Because they trust in you. A lot of times, our angst is a clear sign that we are not trusting God. And so we have to take a break, and we have to really disrupt that cycle of distraction and overcommitment. So I want you to protect your focus and your time by setting limits on digital distractions. I've been talking about the app Opal. It is amazing. I will link it in the notes of this video. Blocking off time for your deep work and prayer. Blocking time for you to have intentional moments of stillness so you can reflect and spend time with the Lord. You can't afford not to. Having your quiet time is not a passive activity. Every time we get busy.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Every time we get overloaded, what is the first thing we stop doing? The first thing we stop doing, the first thing that we ditch, the first thing that we cut is our quiet time. Oh, I don't be having time. I can't find time. Girl, you can't afford to not have your quiet time. Something else got to go in the budget, in the time budget. Maybe you can't watch the first 48 for 2 hours. You need to be in your word. Because from that is where you're able to be fortified, where you're able to be built up, where you get instruction. We have to be intentional and to also be self-aware. How do you know if you're anxious? You aren't even spending enough time to recognize like, ooh, like I'm sitting here and I'm tense. Relax your shoulders, friend. Like you're not creating enough time for you to be able to even invest time, energy, effort to even assess the temple that God has given you. We got to say, how you going to keep the house clean? You don't know what it looked like on the inside. We can't be overcommitted. We got to stop being so busy. We got to stop being so distracted. The third step that Paul gives us, and this is the major key alert, is to replace worry with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. We about to have Bible study, friend. Okay. We go in Greek, and I need you to hear me. Paul was very intentional when he described this specific prayer strategy for anxiety. Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. And I want to break this down for you. Prayer is an exchange where we take our intentions, what we want to do, and we exchange it for God's will. This is how you build faith. Okay? Faith by definition in the Greek is God's divine persuasion, and not only his persuasion, but how we respond. If I'm not talking to him, how I know? How do I know? How do I know, friend? Then there's supplication. Supplication is a personal plea arising from an urgent need. And thanksgiving. So there's this act of gratitude that shifts our focus from worry to worship. There are several different types of prayer. Several different types of prayer. Go look in the book of Psalms. There are several different types of prayer, but Paul was very strategic in saying, not only do you pray, not only do you exchange your intention for God's will, where he's going to teach you how to start discerning his will. When you study the word prayer in the Greek, supplication, so you can tell God what, not only what you need, but also what you want. He's going to exchange that. If it's not in his will, what you want, it's going to be exchanged. And you should be glad to gladly exchange it, because I don't want to be outside of his will. Because if I go outside of his will to get something, I have to stay outside of his will to maintain it. And that's a dangerous place. And then supplication, which is gratitude. So that shifts our focus from worry to worship. So now what you've done is you have sat with the Lord. Let me tell you what Paul did. Step three is this is how you emotionally process the situation that you are dealing with. God, here's the situation. This is what I'm trying to do, but what you want me to do? I'm thinking about this, and this. But what would you like from me? That's the exchange. Okay, God, this is what I need. That's the exchange. And God, I thank you that you've already done it. And I know that I can trust that. I can have faith because you said, let there be light, and there was. The simple fact that I'm sitting here, God, I'm grateful. I have gratitude. Okay, Hezekiah Walker said, gratefulness is flowing from my heart. And also, I am reminded of the things. When we pray, we tell God what we need, and then we come back with thanksgiving of all the things that he's already done. We're not reminding God of what he did. We're reminding ourselves. Like, girl, remember that time your daddy had COVID and you thought he was about to die, and he was in respiratory failure, and God kept him? What's these bills? Nothing. Amen. Amen. I was going to go a little deeper on this point, but I want to be obedient to the Lord. And I want to do the full breakdown with y'all in a separate video where I'll talk about in depth the magnificence and also the mental health aspect of this prayer strategy for anxiety. It deserves its own video, okay? In 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, here's what we're told. Rejoice always. That's that Thanksgiving piece. Pray continually. Always exchange your intention for his will. And then give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So what do? You need to start exchanging your worries for truth in prayer. And that means God's truth, not the reality of the situation. Just because something seems like it's a reality does not make it the truth. Only Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life. So if it's in opposition to him, it's not the truth, but it could be reality. Okay? Then I want you to release your burdens through supplication. This is how you emotionally process when you have anxiety. And then you have to retrain your mindset by practicing gratitude. You literally can rewire your brain. It is called neuroplasticity. You have to be intentional, not reactive, but proactive in doing this. And then the final part of this strategy to resist anxiety is to anchor your mind in God's promises. Anxiety really grows in our minds because we meditate on fear rather than meditating on faith. And by faith, again, is instead of us meditating on what God told us to do, that is what faith is. It is God's divine persuasion. It's not because you got to unction to quit your job and now I'm about to go do something just willy-nilly. That's not faith. Faith is God's divine persuaion. It is the Greek word pistis, God's divine persuasion, okay? So you're meditating more on your fears than you are what God said, what he spoke to you, the promises that he gave you. And if you don't feel like you've quote unquote heard God, then read your Bible because he speaks there always. So the Bible teaches us that we have to be intentional about where we place our mental focus. So in Philippians 4:8, Paul starts to give us a list of what things we should be thinking on. And a lot of us, if we think about the things that we consume, it ain't nothing on the list. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, right? Paul gives us all of the criteria of what we should be thinking on. Think about these such things. True, noble, right, pure. Half of our TikToks don't look like that. And that's what we're thinking on. That's what we're meditating on. If you want to resist anxiety and overwhelm, you have to set your mind on what we are called to set our minds on. In the book of Colossians, it says to set your mind on things above. That means keep it fixed there. That's where our attention should be. And so Paul really outlined the strategy that we need. And I'm going to give it to you again. 1, refuse to carry what God never asked you to. 2, break the cycle of distraction and overcommitment. 3, replace worry with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. And then finally, you have to anchor your mind on the promises of God, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure. So that may mean that things that you consume, you cannot consume anymore. You are what you eat. That means if you're eating the opinions of other people, if you're eating your TikTok and social media feed, and it's causing you to feel like you are not doing enough, you'll never be enough, you'll never make it to the other side, then you need to change your information diet. What are you consuming? What are you feeding your mind? Information is literally called food for thought. What are you thinking on? So I just want you to remember that anxiety is a thief, okay? Anxiety is a thief. John 10:10 already told us that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And anxiety is a thief. But Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. We are not in bondage. So anxiety is a thief, but it does not own you. And Paul didn't simply just give us, hey, girl, stop worrying about that. But he gave us the strategy, the roadmap, so we can put up resistance. And because anxiety is a trick of the enemy and is leveraged by the enemy, I believe that the same way James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he shall flee, that when we resist to allow our minds to participate in being divided and distracted, that it will stop because the Bible said so. That's why he told us to refuse to do it. Anxiety is not just something that you experience, but you can actively disarm your mind from trying to go left by making sure that your heart, that your mind, and your prayers are in alignment with the Word of God. And so the skill set, the roadmap that we are given in Philippians 4:6-8, it is tools for transformation. It's not this big theological, no, like it is instruction. That's why I say that the Bible is God's prescription for purpose, for us to live out what he wants us to accomplish. And so I pray that this blessed you. Do not allow anxiety to continue to run rampant in your life. You can, and you have the authority to disarm it. So I love you, friend. God bless you, and I'll talk to you later.
Hello, my name is Jorge Gaviria, and I'm the founder of Macienda. We partner with farmers in Mexico to bring heirloom corn products to every kitchen. With my Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on every purchase. And it has no preset spending limit, which means my purchasing power adapts to my business needs. My Spark card helps me fulfill my mission of bringing masa to the masses. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.